Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. I'm speaking with the award-winning guitarist Sharon Isbin about her most recent recording, Souvenirs of Spain and Italy, with the Pacifica Quartet. The Castel Nuovo Tedesco Quintet for Guitar and String Quartet, which is on your most recent recording, really strikes me as a piece that, in a sense, kind of makes up for the fact that Brahms didn't compose a guitar quartet.
I love that.
Just so lush and rich melodically and harmonically, and also it's quite profound. And I'm actually really surprised that it's not better known in general than it seems to be. So I'm curious just to kind of have your take on the piece itself and on why we're not hearing it performed all the time.
One of the reasons is that it is so difficult. It's really challenging for all of the instruments, almost like a concerto level of preparation required for each of the five of us. And we had the luxury of being able to rehearse it extensively and then perform it a number of times before the recording. And that makes a big difference. I first met Pacifica in 2016 when I invited them to join me in my annual recital at the Aspen Music Festival. And we really hit it off. I just think they're one of the great quartets on the planet. And I think that their sense of passion and beauty, nuance, expression, virtuosity is something pretty unparalleled. And we feel a real kinship with each other. It's like a love fest. So when they asked me after the concert if I would tour with them, I said yes, and then they invited me to do this album. And of course, I was thrilled to be able to do that. And the Casa Nuova Tedesco was one of the first on our list to make sure that got included because of its rarity. And in fact, Tedesco himself was a great fan of the piece. He called it one of my best works of chamber music, and that's for any instrument. So I wholeheartedly agree with him on that, and it gives all of us a chance to be very expressive. There's a personal connection here too, because just a few months before the recording, I learned that his granddaughter, Diana Castellanueva Tedesco, lived only a few blocks from me in New York City. So I contacted her, and we met, and she regaled me with all these great stories about her grandfather that were so inspiring, things I'd never known. And I also received from her a copy of his handwritten manuscript of the quintet, which was such a valuable resource to be able to consult for not only the notes and the phrasings, but all of the plethora of dynamic markings that he put on every page. And to see that in his own handwriting gave it an authenticity and a real connection. I felt like Mario was with us in this whole process, and I felt as if I were part of the family. It just changed the whole way I approached the project and the way it inspired me for the music.
You've also included on Souvenirs of Spain and Italy a performance of Vivaldi's Lute Concerto in D, that in your edition of Emilio Pujol's arrangement. The Spanish connection here is with Pujol, who occupies an important place in the lineage of the Spanish guitar tradition. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So again, we have this confluence of Italian and Spanish. And in fact, just to mention that in the beautiful slow movement of the Castelnuovo Tedesco, he wrote on one of the sections, Souvenir of Spain, and that kind of inspired not only the understanding of the music, but also the title of the album, Souvenirs of Spain and Italy. And in the case of Emilio Pujol, he was a teacher of the famous 19th century guitarist Francisco Tárrega. And what he did was he added a viola part and then moved the guitar into the prominent role of the soloist so that I get to do a lot in the forefront. And by having just three strings join me in this case, one violin, one viola, and one cello, there's a real intimacy that is captured. And I can explore in slow movement my embellishment in the Baroque performance style that I add myself to the repeats of the slow movement. And all of that gives it a very unique flavor.
Mm-hmm. This recording also includes a performance of Boccherini's D major guitar quintet as well. That's the one with the famous fandango and the final movement. Would you mind talking about the guitar tradition in Boccherini's music and how this music eventually made its way from the court and out to the concert-going public?
Boccherini, at the age of 18, began to live in Spain, and that's where he lived the rest of his life. And being a cellist, he was fascinated by adding himself to the forces of a string quartet to create lots and lots of quintets that he could play in. And at one point, he fell out of favor with the king that had him in his employ in the court, and it was because the king has expressed a desire to have Boccherini change a certain passage and eliminate it, and instead Boccherini, so the story goes, decided instead to double that passage. Well, that was the end of that job. So he took refuge in the mountains, and that gave him the opportunity to really focus on writing. And he chose to set some of these quintets for guitar and string quartet. And the most famous, of course, is the one with the fandango at the end. I don't know if you're familiar with a really racy quote from Casanova, but when he had the occasion to see a fandango being danced in Madrid for the first time, it blew his mind. And in 1767, Casanova wrote, "Each couple, man and woman, taking no more than three steps at a time and clicking castanets to the sound of the orchestra, make 1,000 gestures, take 1,000 attitudes with a lasciviousness with which nothing can compare. This dance is the expression of love from beginning to end, from the sigh of desire to the ecstasy of enjoyment." We invited a virtuoso and very creative castanet and tambourine player from Brazil to improvise to this particular movement, Eduardo Leandro, and he had such a wonderful color and flavor to this music.
The guitar is known as the most Spanish of all instruments. Could you talk a little bit about really the guitar tradition in Spain, which I realize is a huge question, but getting specifically, I guess, to the heart of your most recent recording, this recording, Souvenirs of Spain and Italy?
Well, it actually has an interesting lineage that some people trace to India with the gypsies who migrated across many lands and ended up in Spain and became part of that country's flamenco tradition. There's a fascinating movie called Lógico Drum, which has virtually no dialogue, and it is a documentary that explores different musicians from different cultures. It's really worth seeing and hearing. It's fascinating. But I found a unique experience in February when I was invited to tour in India with music composed for me by Amjad Ali Khan, performing with his sons Aman and Ayan Ali Bangash, brilliant sarod players, and tabla. And we toured in Delhi, Mumbai, and Calcutta. And some of this music, which is a whole new genre for me to learn, Indian raga music, but I had great guidance by masters of it because I didn't know what I was doing and I had to really learn from them as best I could. And to be able to improvise the embellishments, it was not unlike the experience I'd had either performing with jazz musicians or improvising embellishments of Baroque music of Bach, having studied for years with Rosalind Turek, the great Bach scholar and keyboard artist. And at some point, I guess the first concert, when I opened with a Spanish work by Albéniz, it just really hit me how this music of Albéniz and this music of ragas from India really have a deep and close connection, spiritual and musical connection and historical. And it was just such a visceral experience to have that on the stage in India. It's changed how I play Spanish music as well.
Guitarist Sharon Isbin's most recent recording is Souvenirs of Spain and Italy with the Pacifica Quartet. I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus.